Welcome back to another episode of Interview You. This is your host, Lewis Shine. And hey, I have another special guest on the show today. But first, want to shout out my supporters and my partners, Dr. Dish. They make some of the most amazing shooting machines on the planet. And to check out the products that they provide, please visit them at drdishbasketball.com. That's drdishbasketball.com. And for your auto, home, life, and financial needs, please visit David Roberts State Farm, 419-420-7700, or at agentdavidroberts.com. Well, hey, we have another special guest on the show today. I am excited because he's on the West Coast. I used to live on the West Coast. I love the West Coast. And, you know, we get a little West Coast flavor today, talk some hoops and to talk his story. So without further ado, I want to welcome to the show Coach Brant Miner. How's it going, man?
Oh, it's a great day here. Yeah, I appreciate you having me, Coach Shine. Looking forward to our conversation.
Yes, sir. And like I mentioned, you're on the West Coast, man. I used to live in Cali. So, you know, when you talk about that Pacific time, you know, it's just a little earlier out there, man. So, man, how's your time on the West Coast been for you, man? Just experience, weather, just being on that Pacific time. How's that been for you?
Yeah, so I was born and raised out here in Oregon, grew up in Southern Oregon, and spent my whole life out here. So obviously traveled to the East Coast, and Central time zone and everything, but most of my time has been out here in Oregon. Grew up, played at University of Portland. That's where I got the opportunity. I walked on, so I was getting recruited by small colleges, and I visited the University of Portland. Loved the campus. It's close to Portland, but not in the city. And decided to go there and walk on. I played 2 years of Division I basketball. Didn't play my junior or senior year, but still graduated from the university. And then I kind of got into coaching right away.
Man, so that's quite a journey, man. We want to take this thing way back, man. Where did the game of basketball start in your life? You know, whether that's first time you remember putting the ball in your hand or just – somebody introducing the game to you. How did that happen for you?
Yeah, it's kind of an unusual one. It's my dad's mom. So my grandmother, Gladys Miner, was back in the 1930s here in Oregon. She scored 100 points in a game and was in Ripley's Believe It or Not and had an incredible career in high school. Didn't get to play in college. Women's sports wasn't very big back then, but I credit a lot of my love of the game to her. She passed away when I was young, but my dad kind of passed that love of the game down from her. And so I've always just kind of played the game since I can remember. My older brother's 5 years older than I am. And so when he was starting, I was starting, and just have loved the game. And I'm very fortunate to still be around the game now coaching college basketball.
Gotcha. And that's an amazing story. I mean, 100 points. That's not an easy thing to do. So she sounded like she has some game, you know.
My dad told me stories about when he was in high school, his friends would be like, hey, can your mom come in and shoot? And she could stand up at the top of the key and just knock down 15, 20 in a row. Just she had a gym upstairs in their house when she was growing up back in the 1930s here in Oregon. And she just got to where she could put it right in the middle, bottom of the net, bottom of the net, bottom of the net. So that's pretty incredible for a woman back in the 1930s to have such an incredible career playing basketball.
Wow, that's some straight up accuracy right there, man.
For sure.
He reminds me of a time when I played pro for a team down in Baton Rouge back in 04, 05 season. And there was this shot doctor that came in. This is an NBA shot doctor, but he was also he also did like floors for like the NBA, you know, All-Star games and all kinds of stuff. But he came in to talk to us, and literally when he did his talk, he was talking to us, and at the same time he was shooting and didn't miss a shot. And then he was like, I'm gonna make this shot go off the left rim, and then I'm gonna make this go off the right rim, and then I'm gonna make this one all net. It was just like, wow, like crazy. And so it reminds me of when you know, telling that story. It's just like precision. That's some straight up accuracy.
Right? Yeah, precision. I know I coached a kid, Eric Thompson. He pitched AAA for the Dodgers. And when he came back to play at Southern Oregon where I was coaching, you know, he'd hit the rim on free throws and he'd step back. And you know, take a deep breath, kind of like get it together. Cause why, you don't have to hit the rim. It should just go right in the middle every time, bottom of the net, bottom of the net. So that accuracy is something that I try to help work with kids, and just, it is something that can be taught, but also some of it's just instincts, I think.
Yeah, definitely, man. A lot of that repetition, man, you get that thing together, that helps as well. So, man, let's talk a little bit about, you know, you progressing into high school. Of course, you became a D1 athlete, man, but give us a snapshot of what that work ethic was for you that helped you get to the D1 level. I mean, you know, you don't just wake up and say, I'm going D1, and then you just appear there. There has to be some kind of track record. And I want to get a picture of what your high school career was like.
I had a very successful high school career. Grants Pass High School is the largest classification here in Oregon. And I had a great teammates. We won a lot of games. I started on varsity for 3 years. In those 3 years, we lost 3 home games total. So we really had a lot of fan support. People like coming out and supporting winning teams. We went to the state tournament all 3 of those years. Made the state semifinals my junior year, finished 4th in state my senior year. And like I kind of mentioned, a lot of smaller schools were recruiting me. I'm 6'2". I wasn't swinging from the rims or hitting 7-8 threes in a game. So I felt like I was kind of under-recruited. But the coaches saw me play at the state tournament my senior year and invited me to walk on. And I think a lot of it, I played 3 sports all through high school. I was a soccer, basketball, then baseball in the spring. But I was practicing basketball year-round, whether that was just 45 minutes in the morning, getting a little ball handling and some shots up, or during the season after practice, getting another couple hundred makes in. But it definitely was not something that was easy. And then getting to the college level, I kind of joked that I worked really hard to be the worst player. And that's as a D1 player, 6'2", is not very big. And I won the sprints. I helped the team GPA. I did all the little things necessary to be on the team. And that work ethic, like you're talking about, coach, is just to get a seat at the table. You know, it doesn't mean you're going to get to eat, but just having that extreme work ethic and trying to make the guys that were playing better was kind of how I got the opportunity to sit the bench. And I played in 21 games, and I got to work this into the conversation, Coach Shine, but I didn't have a turnover. I played in 21 college basketball games, and I didn't turn it over once. And I never started a game. I never was the high scorer, but I knew my role. And that's one thing I tell kids all the time. If there's kids watching, you got to know your role, accept your role, and then excel at your role. And then your role will grow. But if you pout, if you moan, if you complain, it's not going to help your situation, and it won't help your role grow.
Yeah. Now, that's really good stuff right there, man. Can you repeat that last little nugget that you just shared?
Yeah, for sure. You got to know your role, accept your role, and then excel at your role. So some kids, sometimes it's the buying into the role that's the toughest part, because kind of every kid that I've worked with wants to be the scorer, you know, and that's what the parents are talking about after the game. That's what the newspaper's talking about, is who scores the most points. But I know where I coach now, Pacific University, we really try to emphasize being a star in your role. Not everybody in our program gets to shoot. Not everybody gets to be the guy that scores the most points. Some guys set screens, rebound, defend, dive on the floor, take charges. But we try to celebrate those guys when they get 6 assists and 5 rebounds. And everybody's got a different role. And I think that's one thing that I really stress to kids, is if you buy into your role and then you try to do the best you can at it, you're going to have a better experience playing the game. It's the kids that never find or are never happy with what the coach wants them to do. Those are the ones that have a tough time accepting the game. And I don't think they enjoy the game as much.
No, that's you know, while you were talking about that, I was just sitting here thinking, like, you can take your role in the game of basketball, and you can excel at it to the point where you become a Hall of Famer. I was thinking about Dennis Rodman, actually.
Yeah.
And it's one of my favorite players ever, you know. And he take rebounding and change the game,
absolutely,
you know. And I mean, I love watching YouTube clips of him where he'll have like 26 rebounds, 2 points. Like that's player of the game, you
right?
know. And, you know, I love that kind of stuff. So you're absolutely right, man. When you know, you can excel at your thing, the thing that you're, you know, whatever role that is, you can become excellent at that thing. And you can change the dynamic of your team's success just off of what you're doing. And so, and I've seen it a number of times. I've seen it on defense. I've seen it, you know, it's just, it's crazy how it happens, you know.
That's what I look for recruiting too, is I notice the kids that do excel in their role and are positive energy givers. That's something we recruit. We recruit kids that are selfless and tough, coachable, good teammates, competitive. All those things I mentioned, none of them include putting the ball in the bucket. Obviously, if a kid can score, that's, you know, score. But don't get 30 on 35 attempts. And that's something that when I run showcases now, and some kids think they have to score a lot to be noticed, when in reality, if they're making the extra pass, if they're playing hard, if they're trying to play defense during the showcase, those things shine during an event like that. So it's not just who can score the most points. Like you said, Dennis Rodman getting rebounds, facilitators, you know, Stockton obviously could score, John Stockton, but what made him so good and famous is his ability to get guys open in positions, get them the ball where they could be successful. Plus, the guy was tough as nails. John Stockton, in his first 13 years in the NBA, missed 4 games. I'll repeat them. Four games in 13 years. Talk about – and they weren't flying chartered planes, and he probably didn't spend $1 million on his body like some of these guys do now. But to only miss 4 games in 13 years, that's an Iron Man right there.
An Iron Man right there. Wow. That's crazy, man. And something else you said, too, you know, it made me think about something is, you know, I've always been the coach, kind of coach where, you know, you might get a lot of attempts, shots. I actually don't even know where the thought came from, but you made me think about something is when, you know, why is it that you have some coaches that they're okay with, oh, you said the 35 attempts, 30 points on 35 attempts or whatever. And, you know, when you think about other areas of your game, like you were mentioning, like being good at, you know, your role, you know, you can recruit a defender and in essence, you're putting points in your point column because you got points off of turnovers. And so, if you're going to have a player that has 30 off of 35, then I'm going to have a defender that's going to be 5 for 10 in shooting the passing lane. Hey, they missed 5 of them, but they got 5 of them. They, you know, they were 5 for 10,
yeah.
You know? And, you know, that's kind of how you got to think about it. Like, if they're good at something, okay, if you're a person that steals balls and shoots passing lanes and gets steals, I need you to take 35 attempts.
You know? It's a numbers game. Right? It's a percentage. We talk a lot about points per possession. That's one of our major things that we study is points per possession. And we play a unique style. Pacific University out here in Oregon, we averaged – get this, Coach Shine. We averaged 104 a game our first year, and we weren't very good. So we pressure relentlessly for 40 minutes. We're trying to wear teams out. Every minute, we sprint 5 new players onto the floor to try to get a steal. We're 3rd in the country in steals, 4th in the country in offensive rebounding. So we're sending 4 guys to the glass on every shot. It's just constant pressure. We make a bucket. We have a guy all over the inbounder. And we're full denying all inbounds passes, full denial. And we're trying to get steals.
I know who I'm going to be watching this year.
You guys got it. GoBoxers.com. All of our games are streamed. It is fun. Our hashtag, Coach, what just happened?
I love it. Oh, my gosh.
We turned over our first game last year. We turned over Evergreen State 42 times in one game. They had 42
turnovers. Wow.
And we were down with 5 minutes left by double digits, and we won going away just because they got frustrated. Wow. They got tired. And we were still sprinting 5 new players on the floor for the whole game. So it is a unique style, but people love to watch it. It's a fan favorite because there's a lot of threes and steals, and it's up and down and up and down. 5 new guys sprinting on the floor, trap, press, sub, fly around. And if we err, it's on the side of aggression. Never tentative. Never, oh, I don't know if I can get it, so I'm going to fall back. If you got a chance of getting it, go get it.
Exactly. Man, I love this already, man. And I'm going to tell you this. I put a tweet out. I'm a defensive guy, too, so that's why I'm really loving it. But I put a tweet out today, and I said that when you're trying to win a conference, which when I coached, that was my goal every year. I don't care. I don't believe in rebuild years. I believe in taking what you have and figuring it out. And so I put this tweet up, and it said, when you're trying to win a championship, it's really the coaches that win or that are in the top in the conference that really displays the ability that they have to outthink the other coaching staffs.
Mm-hmm.
And also with that the ability, like recruiting the top players, I believe that's really only about 10% of the whole, because I feel like you can take players and you can teach them defense. You can teach them different things that you need to, and you can win. I mean, when you look at like Glory Road, that's one of my favorite movies. Mm-hmm. Like who would have thought that that kind of thing can happen, but it did. You know, and then somewhere in his heart, he must have believed that it was possible. And I think that that's where it starts. But to get back to my tweet, and that's why I ended the tweet and I said, you know, to believe that a rebuild year exists is to believe that in your heart, I don't want to take the time to put in this into this to think about how can I, you know, what's possible. And when I hear your story and what you guys are doing, that's some straight up strategy. And that's something that it sounds like, you know, you guys really, you know, put into your players and you fashion them mentally on what we're trying to do, and it works. And you're in the top 10 in the nation in several categories. It's amazing.
Not wins yet though, Coach Shine. We haven't been very good. So, it is a process. I know, and it does take some talent. I know you said it's only 10%. I would argue that it's higher, because I think a lot of it is having the guys that buy into your system too. So not only do you have to have good players, but you have to have them committed. And I think our style, more any style, if you want to win, you have to have kids that are committed and bought in. But I think our system even more so, because they can hit a three in the first half, they're still coming out next dead ball. So you have to be selfless, because it's not about right here, right now. It's about the end of the game, right? When their best players played 34 minutes and our best players only played 21, and we're still fresh and they're tired. So it takes a special kid that can understand, okay, I'm gonna pass the baton on, but at the end of the game, I'm going to be getting open shots and I'm going to keep hitting them, because they're worn out and we're still fresh. So it is a unique style. And top 10 in the nation in three-pointers attempted and made, but we still haven't been very good. So we're going into our third year as a coaching staff. And I know you were saying you don't believe in rebuild, but Pacific hasn't been in the top half of the league in 20-plus years. So it is definitely a culture change that we're having to make, and we're really putting in the time and trusting the process and really working to get kids that buy into this system. But it is a fun style to coach, and I think our kids love playing it because it is aggressive and they get a lot of freedom.
Gotcha. You know, when I say it with the rebuild, I'm not saying I don't believe, but I guess I come from the perspective of if I got a coaching job today, I personally don't have time to think about, well, this is going to be a rebuild year. Now, for the people on the outside that may be looking in, I'll leave that up to them as to what they think. But if I came in, didn't even have my own kids, didn't recruit any, I'm going to take them and I'm going to try to win this conference championship. And I'm not going to let anything stand in my way. So for me, that's kind of where my mindset of it, like that's something that I don't have I'm not going to put my mind on it. And then, you know, kind of be the person at the end of the year saying, well, you know, this was a rebuild year. So,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Some people lean on that. They lean on that. But at the end of the year, I'm going to know my cards were spent. I tried to go for it all. And if that's what the media calls it at the end, then they just call it that. But you know what I mean? So that's kind of where, you know, my mindset. But, you know, so, man, let's take this thing back because I skipped a few steps. You know, I want to talk about your experience when you first got into college, man, and just how different it was from high school for you far as playing, you know, and just being at that D1 level, you know, how different the game was, you know, and some maybe one of your best experiences that you experienced when you were
for sure. Playing. It's a different level. It's a big step up from being All-State in Oregon senior year to playing on the Division I level. First game I got in, we're playing the University of Oregon. I grew up watching the Ducks, big Ducks fan. And I got the ball and I pump faked, you know, right at the block, pump faked. Normally I was able to jump up quick and finish at the rim. And this is the reason I remember the story, 7-footer. And his name was Matt Short. Never forget that. Not a joke. You can Google Matt Short Ducks and it'll pop up on the roster that there was a 7-footer. And he just waited, didn't buy it on any of my shot fakes. And when I shot it, he just beat it into like, and it was one of those where he probably could have caught it almost or just like blocked it to a teammate. But he wanted that like emphatic, I'm going to throw this into the crowd block shot. And it was definitely the wake-up call that you're not playing high school basketball in Oregon anymore. It was kind of an eye-opener. But you also wanted the best moment playing Gonzaga. At Gonzaga, we're up 16 with 4 minutes left, and they go on a 12-0 run to cut our lead to 4. And the kennel up there, Mark Few, the Zags, that place was rocking. And we actually held them off, and we beat Gonzaga at Gonzaga. And that was to have that crowd going crazy to completely silent to where you could have heard a pin drop in that arena. That was definitely one I'll never forget. I got to play 13 minutes against the Oregon Ducks at MacArthur Court against Luke Ridenour and Luke Jackson, a couple guys that – played in the NBA, lottery draft picks. But yeah, it was for a kid from a small town in Southern Oregon, getting to play Division I basketball, traveling around, playing in these big arenas was definitely a dream come true. And I feel like I got pretty close to my ceiling, my potential level. I was best when I was 19 or 20 and I wasn't playing, but I really worked hard to get to where I could help our team win games. And that usually wasn't putting the ball in the bucket during the games. It was getting our starters better by running the scout team, trying to lock up Pujetter in practice. It was just an incredible experience getting to play Division I basketball. But now as a D3 coach, I'm kind of trying to talk kids out of walking on and coming and being the guy at Pacific instead of just a guy if they were to walk on. But I loved my experience. It's all about the right fit for the right kid. And I feel like I did pretty good as far as getting close to my potential level. And I loved my experience at the university. A lot of my best friends are from the University of Portland. just it was a great experience. But it is all about the right fit for the right kid.
No, that makes a lot of sense, man. Great experience, man. I'm an arena guy, so you know I can imagine vividly like the, you know, what you're, you know, explaining and giving me the detail about the arena rocking at Gonzaga and, you know, all that kind of stuff, man. That's just really sweet right there. You know, great experience. I know something you'll never forget. You know, and, you know, as you ended your career, you know, college, you know, how did the transition happen for you? You know, what door of opportunity opened for you as you,
I played 2 years, like I mentioned. I didn't play my junior or senior year. My senior year, I helped our women's team at University of Portland. Jim Sollers gave me the opportunity to be kind of a student assistant for the women's team. Mainly, I was guarding the post players and trying to learn the scout before the other teams we played. But that was just a great opportunity. And then I worked for a basketball organization in Spokane for a year. And then I really missed the team aspect of the game. So I spent a year at Warner Pacific College in Portland. And then the opportunity to go back closer to home to Southern Oregon University came up. And I spent 5 years down there at this university in Ashland, Oregon. And that was incredible, Coach. We went my first year, we were 9th out of 10 in the conference. I didn't know the kids. I hadn't recruited them. It is tough to recruit or to coach kids that you did not recruit because you don't have that connection as much or the rapport like you do with kids that you've recruited. And we went my first year, we were 9th, and I was out there recruiting a lot, trying to paint this picture of we're going to be good. Trust me, it's kind of like what we're doing at Pacific. We're not really good right now, but if you come here, we will be good. And I had kids that listened and bought in and believed me. And we went from 9th my first year to 7th to 5th to 3rd to my last year at Southern Oregon. We were ranked 13-1 and ranked number 2 in the nation, NAIA. But that's still scholarship level basketball. And we were ranked number 2 and had a 3.52 team grade point average. So we had great kids that obviously could hoop too. But I was really proud of those kids, and they believed me when I painted that picture of that we're going to be good, and they believed me and came, and it worked out. And I spent 5 years down there at Southern Oregon, and then I finished my master's degree. The girl I was dating, who's now my wife and mother of my daughter, was living in Portland, 2-hour or 4-hour drive, and we did that long distance for about 2 years, and I was like, man, I'm making very little here now that I got my master's degree. So I moved back to Portland, didn't coach for 3 years, and then had the opportunity to get back into coaching college when Justin Lunt got the job at Pacific. I joined him his first year, and now we're going into our 3rd season.
Yeah, definitely, man. One of the things I really want to ask is, you know, with – you know, everything that's been going on, man, how has it been to, you know, just connect with your players and just help walk them through the transition, you know, of trying to get started again and, you know, just helping them to kind of get back in a mental place where basketball is back in your lives.
It has
now.
Been difficult with COVID and then even just the social and civil unrest in our country right now. It's been a difficult year, no question, but we've been trying to build the relationships. So this from when we couldn't go back to campus in March, we were doing all spring and summer twice a week. We were meeting with all the guys on the team on Zoom. We had book studies. We were doing question and answers just trying to get the guys to know each other better. And then now we do what we call 15-15-15 meetings to try to help develop our relationships with the players. So every 15 days, we meet one-on-one with our players, every player in our program for 15 minutes to go over 15 goals. So twice a month from a time a player commits to us to a time when they leave our program. So in the summer, it's FaceTime. During the season, it's face-to-face, but they're meeting with the coach twice a month just to help build our relationship. And we've been stressing two things, Coach. You got to be adaptable and you got to be positive. Those are the kind of the things you can control right now, is you got to be able to adapt during this time because there is so much uncertainty. You have to be positive because it's not going to help to get negative or pout or complain. All you can really do is worry about what you can control, and that's to get better every day. So one of our core values is continuous improvement. So continuous improvement, circle of control, and program first. Those are the three things we talk about a lot. So just trying to get a little better every day. It's not a get rich quick. It's not a turn this thing around overnight. We're doing it with mostly high school kids that are coming in, taking some lumps right now. But those freshmen, we had the freshman of the year in the conference last year. Nick Drinan had a great freshman season, but now he's a sophomore and more expectations. And but he's been working all off season, so he's ready. But we've been adapting. Right now, we're still going 10 at a time. Everybody's got to wear masks the whole time, and we're still not able to have any contact. So we got to stay distance, so we can't play one-on-one. We can't play five-on-five. It is still not quite like basketball practice, but it is good to be back in the gym, and we're working hard to get better with the limitations that we have. So you can get bitter or you can get better. And you can make excuses or you can make results. And so we're really trying to focus on the things that we can control. We're very appreciative to be back in the gym. Obviously, it's not what we would like to have. We'd like to have no masks and five on five and kind of have the old days back. But we definitely don't take it for granted. And our guys are trying to do everything they can to make sure we have a season this year. Because a lot of conferences, especially Division III, they're coming out every day saying, oh, the season's canceled. So we're making sure our guys are socially distanced. They're not going to parties. They're trying to do everything they can to stay safe and test negative and stay positive.
Yeah, man. That's you know, I like what you said, man. Whatever you can control, you know, that's what you can control. And you do something about that. And so, man, I want to talk a little bit about this before we go, man. Max Hoops, man, I want to talk about, you know, what you got going on there, how that began, and what your initiative
is
through it.
Yeah, awesome. I appreciate you asking that. Max Hoops is something I started when I was out Southern Oregon, kind of to help us recruit and help those kids that are under the radar. We help kids from big schools that maybe don't get the opportunity because they have some other guys on their team that are players. We also work with maybe star players from small schools that aren't getting much attention. But we do camps. We have the elite basketball school every summer in August. We've done that 11 years now. 2020 was the first year we missed. And that's half the time the kids are on the floor with a college coach and half the time they're in a classroom. So they're getting leadership talks, goal setting, time management, life of a college athlete. So they're getting all that in the classroom, and then they're getting on the floor with a college coach. So that's kind of what makes Max Hoops a little unique, is it's actual current college coaches. So a bunch of my coaching buddies, normally we'll get between 15 and 20 current college coaches rolling through the gym over the weekend, and the kids get the chance. I think of it kind of like a big networking leadership development camp. So we're trying to stress to the kids to be proactive in their recruiting, talk to coaches, introduce themselves, all those things to try to give themselves a chance to play beyond high school. And during the pandemic, we had to cancel all of our spring showcases, which were supposed to happen in Spokane, Washington, Seattle, Washington, Reno, Nevada, Sacramento, California. And our biggest one is in Portland, since that's where I live and played and everything. But we'll get at the Portland one, we'll have 80 kids and 15 college coaches. And it's just a great event for the kids to develop and meet coaches and learn kind of some of the tricks that it takes to play. But since we weren't able to have those, I've had to be adaptable. I had to adjust. So I started a program called Max Hoops Helps, a little alliteration there with the Max Hoops Helps. But it's designed to kind of help kids navigate that recruiting process and kind of help them with their motivation. We go over goal setting. We do film study. So that's something I started during the pandemic just to kind of help kids, because a lot of kids were reaching out saying, hey, Coach Miner, what can I do? You know, there's nothing. I can't get in the gym. How do I meet a coach? How do I write an email? How do I write a letter? What type of things can I do to improve my chances of playing? So I started that. So that's something I've been working with kids all over the country. I have two kids in North Carolina I'm working with, two in Hawaii, quite a few here locally in the Portland area. But that's been something that's been great for me to keep me motivated. I've also been interviewing coaches, trying to help give kids some inside information and insight to what it takes to play for schools. And that's something that was echoed by almost every coach I talked to, was the work ethic and the coachability and the teamwork and all those things that they stress and that they recruit. So I've been trying to stay busy with Max Hoops. We'll be back. I also host a tournament in Las Vegas called The Exclusive, which is a stay and play. The teams stay at the Westin Resort on Lake Las Vegas, and they get to play their games in the ballroom. So three basketball courts into the ballroom at the resort. The kids stay right upstairs. They walk down from their room to the ballroom, play their game, and then they go out to the pools, you know, multiple pools, slides. We had 11 states represented. So it was this summer was supposed to be the third year of that. But in 2021, we'll be back for that tournament in Vegas. So if there is any club team coaches or AAU team coaches listening, hit me up. And it's an invite-only tournament. We have 16 teams per age division, so 48 total teams that play in the exclusive. And I'm biased, right, Coach Shine? But I think it's the best tournament in the country, just because you get the atmosphere in that game, in that ballroom is electric. On Saturday, every game played all day on all three courts is a loser out game. That first round of bracket play.
Oh, yeah, wow.
So just teams are not wanting to go home on Saturday. They're wanting to play on championship Sunday. So that's something that Max Hoops does, and I have an incredible staff and team that work with me to put that tournament on. But just trying to give kids opportunities for exposure and experience. I really stress experience, because – part of that is you can't control how tall you are. You can't control those things. So make it an experience that you're going to remember. And if you get the opportunity to get exposure and play in college, that's a bonus. But don't – it's 95% of kids don't get to play in college. So you can't set that – if you don't get to play in college but you work hard every day, you can't be disappointed. But if you cut corners, if you take shortcuts – and then you don't play in college, then you'll have regrets. And I don't like it when kids have regrets. So trying to just stress experience and giving kids opportunity to meet small college coaches is kind of what Max Hoops is about.
Yeah, man, that sounds amazing, man. I'm glad that, you know, you started something like that, man. Our kids, man, coming up, man, wanting to hoop, man, and just having those kind of atmospheres and just, you know, have an opportunity to have that kind of help, man. It's really amazing, man. I was a benefactor of one of those, you know, types of ordeals where I had that kind of help, you know. And so, you know, just to see that kind of stuff still going on, man, and something that you started, man, it's really good to hear that, you know, you're involved in that as well as being a coach. And, you know, appreciate you sharing that, man. And before we get out of here, can you share, you know, your website for Max Hoops, as well as any of your social medias where people that are listening in say, hey, man, I would love to connect with Coach Miner.
Absolutely.
You know, can you leave your information?
So before we wrap up, I want to thank you for having me. It was definitely a great conversation. I appreciate the platform and getting to share a little bit about what we're doing at Pacific and Max Hoops. MaxHoops.com, MaxHoops, MaxHoops.com. Instagram is MaxHoops3. Twitter's MaxHoops3 or CoachMiner3. You can put the 3 ball after that. That was my college number. But MaxHoops3 on Instagram and Twitter. And, yeah, again, I appreciate you having me, Coach.
No problem, man. And I have one more question. So it's customary what I do. You know, of course, with, you know, players, coaches, sports fans listening in, you know, can you share with our listeners maybe one or two principles that for you, you've lived by that you've carried with yourself, whether that's a quote, scripture, or just some kind of wisdom nugget that you kind of carry with you that has really helped you to kind of keep going, or that helped you to get over different obstacles in life, an experience or whatever it might be. Can you share some with our listeners?
Absolutely. I have two, I'll leave with two quotes. So one of my favorites is, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Mm-hmm. So I know I've been very fortunate to surround myself with great people. I have amazing friends, support system. When times get tough, I know I can count on my friends to be there. So show me your friends, I'll show you your future. And the second one is, if your actions don't line up with your goals, change your goals or change your actions. I'll say that one again. If your actions, if what you do every day, if your actions don't line up with your goals, you need to change your goals or change your actions, or you're just kind of being foolish. So I think that's one. Some kids say they want to play college basketball, but then they eat a lot of Doritos and Funyuns and aren't working on their game and spend a lot of time doing things that don't help get them closer to that goal. Then they should just either change that goal, or they need to change their behaviors and be doing more to try to accomplish that goal. So those two again, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. And if your actions don't line up with your goals, change your goals or change your actions.
Man, those are powerful. Those are powerful. You know, and sometimes, you know, we may hear things like this, but I think it's when we really take it to heart and even just use the simplicity of it. It's simple, but it's an amazing concept, man. And when we take these two things that you mentioned and begin to do some self-examination of where we are, then we can see, you know, exactly where we're at and what we do need to change. So I appreciate you sharing those, Coach. And like I say, man, this has been amazing just to talk with you. Finally getting together on here, man, it's been a minute and since we wanted to get on, and well, we finally made it happen, man. So I'm just excited to connect with you on the podcast, hear about your story, hear about what you're doing, you know, with your coaching staff out there and with Max Hoops, man. You're doing a lot of great things in the space of basketball, but I appreciate you allowing me to interview
Absolutely,
you.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, thank you, Coach Shine, and GoBoxers.com. If you want to see some points scored, check it out. We should be having this season, hopefully starting January 15th. So check it out, GoBoxers.com. And again, thanks for having me, Coach.
No problem. Honor to have you, Coach. For your auto, home, life, and financial needs, please visit David Roberts State Farm, 419-420-7700, or at agentdavidroberts.com. And hey, for you all out there that are in the market for a new shooting machine, with Dr. Dish, they make some of the most amazing shooting machines on the planet. And for a limited time offer, for mentioning the Interview You podcast, you can receive $300 off of the CT, the All-Star, or the Rebel model of the shooting machine. So make sure you go and check them out at drdishbasketball.com. Well, hey, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Interview You. We'll see you on the next episode.